Instead, we'll visit with the mayor because it's getting to be budget time.
Indeed it is.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's a mountain of numbers. But actually, it's for folks who've lived here for a long time, there have certainly been people who believed that the city, and I was one of them, I thought the city was pretty free spending sometimes and had too many folks on the payroll and the budget was too big. But it has, and it is tough to winnow it down, and I guess you're really kind of confronted with the same situation again this year.
We are. I mean, in these times, every budget's going to be tough. You hear about cities going bankrupt, and we're not, you know, we are very solvent and have a rainy day fund and all of that kind of stuff. But we still have to be very cautious, and we'll pare again.
It is interesting. We were talking earlier this morning about San Bernardino now being the third city in California, and that has to do with the benefits deal, and we understand that. But it does bring up one thing that is very interesting, that cities say from time to time, and as a voter, I would say that cities can hide behind, and that is when there is bond money that is approved by the voters, it is allocated for a specific project. Now, as time goes on and scopes and visions change, you can't touch that money for anything else.
Correct.
Is that money that is just sitting somewhere, or you haven't sold the bonds really for it yet to use that?
A little bit of both, but Okay. Mostly we haven't sold the bonds for it.
I mean, what kind of options can a city have as time goes on? Because this is a universal problem, obviously. This happens in every state.
Well, I think that's an excellent point. I think what happens is if you have bond money that was approved, say, 10 years ago, it may be a major road construction and you're waiting for, you know, TxDOT or something like that. But assuming it's just a municipal project, if it becomes obvious over time that things have changed and you've got this locked money in and you haven't gone out and sold the bonds, you can just, you know, keep it forever. But if you think, well, we've got this bonding capacity and we don't have something we want to use it for and this potential obligation is out there, go back to the voters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it makes sense. We were just talking about California. Voters in 08 approved $10 billion for a rail, high-speed rail. Now this thing's going to cost $98 billion. I mean, do you still want to do that? Is that still what you want to do? Because the scope and the magnitude has changed quite a bit. I want to
just
ask,
having come from California, they might want to consider that. I mean, it takes a half a tank of gas to go through downtown just because the traffic is so bad.
I enjoy being out there, but living out there would be just horrendous.
Not on my lifetime.
You have a scope of experience that many people don't, in that you were a council member and now you're mayor. So I want to talk to you a little bit about kind of a broad situation, and that is we find that there was a problem at the convention center.
Conference center.
That looks like has been going on for a while. Can you recall within your time either on council or as mayor when there was discussion about some sort of infrastructure needs that were addressed or looked at but not funded that got us to the point where you suddenly have to close this thing down at 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon?
No. We all know it's an old building. It was, you know, the back end is the former high school. Maybe you graduated there.
Yep, that's my school. That was my junior high, in fact, the building we're talking about here.
Okay, and then, you know, we added, and that part of the building is like 70 years old or so. Mm-hmm. Then you have the newer part that's maybe 35 years old, and that major hallway is actually the bridge between the two buildings. Mm-hmm. You go into the building even today, and you'd say, well, this is an older building, and it probably could use some updating and stuff like that. But I don't think anybody ever thought that there was structural damage. What happened is last summer, we said, let's take a look at this building and have a structural engineer go and do it, because we were saying, well, do we want to invest any money to freshen it up if the building's not sound? I don't think anybody would have done what he did. He went on the roof, saw the huge air conditioning units. They were put up in 2005. They were obviously, you know, put up to city codes and licensed HVAC person put it up.
Right.
And so this guy gets up on the roof, and he says, a little sag here. And then he gets in the attic, which is basically a crawl space, and looks at the rafters, and he said, this building, this roof's not safe. Okay. And so you get that the roof's not safe. Now, this is not a written report. This is a visual inspection by someone who's a structural engineer who's going to come up with a written report. Well, they call the city manager, and he said, what?
Uh-huh.
And so he went out there, he got on the roof, and he went in the crawl space. And he said, absolutely, and we're closing the place down right now.
But why didn't we know that 5 years ago or 7 years ago when they put the new HVAC units up there? Why didn't somebody go, hey, wait a minute, we need to check the structural integrity here to see if over time, you see, that's what I'm saying is was there not oversight before? And I don't want to tie the things necessarily together, but we had the same problem with the Brazos County Courthouse. They ended up having all sorts of structural problems because people cut corners back years and years ago. Well, all those folks are gone now, but, I mean, should we not have done some due diligence 7 or 8 years ago that keep us from being to the point where we had to close this building immediately?
I don't think so. I think the building has always been inspected. I believe that when the new air conditioning unit was put down in 2005, they checked to make sure it was meeting codes and it was all of that. I think it's the proverbial, you know, feather that broke the camel's back. It's just the wait over time. And, you know, 7 years ago, going through 7 summers, 7 winters, you know, there may not have been the sag in the roof 7 years ago. The property has been inspected.
Yeah. Nancy Berry joined us this morning. Okay, so now I'm going to give you a chance to respond to, because I'm sure there are people out there who are going, oh, this is just a ploy to get you out of here so that now we can say there is this tremendous need that we have to meet immediately. Let's go build ourselves a new conference/convention center.
Not happening.
Okay.
This council has no desire to be in the convention business. Leave that to the private sector. We're actively trying to sell Chimney Hill. Not looking for a new conference convention center.
Do you have a feeling as to what should be done with this piece of property? Do you want to make a deal with the school district to let them take that since they've got the property behind it? It's great. I mean, it's a great chunk of real estate. It's got a great location. What, as one member of council, what would you think would be a good thing to do with this piece of property?
As one member of council, I want to wait until we get a written engineer's report to find out what exactly the problem is. I mean, right now we know the roof is not safe. So if the roof's going to fall in, you don't want anybody in that building, period. I mean, so that's why it was closed. But I want to find out what else is the problem and what's the remediation, what's it going to cost, is it something we want to do, not do? Notice, does $100,000 get us a new roof and we're okay, or are we talking a couple of million dollars? So until we know exactly what's wrong and how much it's going to cost, my answer is let's wait and see.
Okay. Some discussion now, and we're getting closer to the landfill, the construction landfill that's out near the airport, near the Health Science Center. I'm going to be honest with you. I thought your comments were a little dramatic when you mentioned the Don Adam building and something being that tall. Are we doing a little hyperbole here?
Or? No. I think that was something I was kind of misinterpreted, and I appreciate the opportunity to clear it up.
Sure.
But what I was saying, I was speaking in favor of having the public hearing. What we had before us at that council meeting was a resolution as to whether or not the council wanted to ask TCEQ, that's the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, which would license the landfill, if we wanted a public hearing or not. And I'm in favor of the public hearing. And as opposed to not having a public hearing and just letting them go along, this is a potential thing that could be out there. I've met with Mr. Mancuso since. I don't think that's as big a problem. But my comments were really to the fact is, do we want this? Is this what it's going to be? Is this what the neighbors want to be? And if it's not going to be this, let's find out what it is, and we would get that at a public hearing. We'd get a better picture of exactly what's planned out there and how it's going to look. And so I was speaking really in favor of having the public hearing, not as opposed to the landfill itself.
Nancy Berry joining us this morning. And so people will understand, landfill can be a lot of different things. We're not talking about garbage trucks bringing household garbage to there. This is, I think, construction-related, that sort of thing. They do some recycling there. But there's so much discussion right now because I know people are angry about a landfill down near Hempstead. There's this right here. This is not the same kind of thing. This isn't the place where College Station garbage goes. This is something different. So
right. Twin Oaks is where our household goes. This is, as you said, construction debris. So you're having concrete, you're having rebar, you're having wood and that kind of stuff. And they do recycle and, you know, crush up the concrete to make it for other things and stuff. So, and it's a different type of landfill.
Sure. And there'll be plenty more discussion on it, but I don't want people right now thinking, oh, they're talking about putting garbage dump, household garbage out there near the airport. That's not what we're talking about. So anyway, I appreciate you addressing those two things, and we had not really discussed that ahead of time that we were going to do that, so I appreciate your view on that. But what do you got for us this morning?
Well, I want to tell you, you know, we're going to find out if we're the friendliest town.
Oh, when do we find out?
I think they announced it on the 15th.
Oh,
so coming up.
Okay.
Yeah. And
do you know about when Sokol was in here last two Fridays ago?
No.
I want you to listen to this because he came in Friday a week ago.
So they were here.
Yeah, all decked out in his maroon. This is from the show.
Time now for Jay Sokol's here this morning too from the City of College Station. How are you today?
Howdy, doing very well.
Okay. By the way, Jay Sokol wearing his I'm from a friendly city shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
It says, hello in many different languages.
Scott, it says howdy.
But Guten Tag is not howdy.
How do you know that?
Okay.
How do you know the konnichiwa is not howdy?
Okay.
Japanese. Wow, I never thought about that.
Yeah. So how many of those did you get made up?
I think about 100. Yeah. CC Creations.
So you got some donated. Got some extras, do you?
Wow.
Oh, we ought to have an extra.
I didn't say I wanted one.
Right. I didn't say I was giving you one.
Man, we got a nice little spar going here.
In the friendliest city.
There you go. Jay Sokol with us last night. So we're going to find out soon. Huh?
We're going to find out soon. Yeah. I think we're already winners because we're finalists.
There you go.
Know,
sure.
How many cities in the country have less than 100,000 people, and we're one of six finalists, so it's gravy each way to go. And speaking about how wonderful things are in College Station, we have just moved up three spots to number six nationally on Forbes' lists of the best small places for business and careers.
Very good.
Last year we were number nine, and we are, in fact, ranked number one in Texas, and no other city in Texas is in the top 30 in the small city category.
Really?
Yeah.
good for you.
Yeah. So that's kind of nice news. Mm. And let me give a shout out to Lacey Lively and Mike New. They did a fabulous job putting together the Rogue Riders when they were here for the friendliest city.
Okay. Well, that's good. Glad that worked out well. Thanks for the time this morning. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
That's Nancy Berry, the mayor of College Station. Visit with the mayors on alternate Wednesdays.